So happy Mother's Day. And it being Mother's Day, I want to try to honor all moms in my message this morning. And I want to start off by asking a question. How many of you here this morning are in a situation where your mom is still alive and you are now a mom yourself? Or if you're a man, you have a mom who is still alive and you are married to a mom? That's you. Raise your hands. A lot of you. Now, a second question. If you are in the situation I just mentioned, when you think of Mother's Day, which of the mothers do your thoughts first go to? Your mom, or to yourself if you are a mom, or the mother of your children if you're a man? I know for myself, even after 27 years observing my wife be this most incredible mother to our four children, when I hear the word mom or mother, the first thoughts that flow into my mind are still of my mom, even though she is no longer with me as she passed away just this past November. I'm not saying this is typical or right. I'm just sharing with you my own experience. Perhaps it comes from the way my dad approached Mother's Day with me when I was growing up. I would ask my dad, "Hey, Pop, what are we doing for Mom for Mother's Day?" And his response was always the same. "David, she's not my mother. What are you going to do?" And I don't think it was because he did not appreciate the role his wife had in raising his only child. I think he was just trying to instill in that child, in me, my responsibility to honor my mom in a special way on this day. And I know there are those in the audience who are not big fans of days like this, because you take the position we should honor moms every day. And that certainly is true. But having one day that we devote especially to the moms in our midst, I don't think is a bad thing, so long as we don't think that means we get to dishonor them the other 364 days of the year. But to get back to my original point, on this day, my first thoughts are of my mom. And perhaps they're even more intense this year because this is the first Mother's Day in 61 years on this earth that she is not here with me. And I say all of this simply to remind us all, as I springboard into talking about moms, that as I use that term, it will have dual meanings for many of us here and will bring different thoughts and emotions depending on which mom it is whose picture flashes across our consciousness. And as I address a mother's role here. And it is my prayer that all moms will receive an extra dose of honor this morning. And I also know that there are ladies here this morning who have not experienced motherhood. Some of you because that time still awaits you. Others for whom that day may not come. And that can make this a difficult day for you because you wanted to be a mom. And we want you to feel honored today as well, because I am certain that the Lord has found unique ways for you to serve in many of the roles I will talk about shortly with others' children. Maybe it's a siblings or a friends. And it is why the gift we give out at the end of the service, every Mother's Day, is for each and every lady here, not just the moms, because it is in recognition of not just those who are moms, but of all the moms who preceded us and of all the roles of mom those without children of their own have filled. And we honor all of you this morning and those who came before you because we realize the incredible sacrifices and challenges of motherhood. It is just a simple truth of life that not only do our children bring to us our greatest joys, but they can bring our deepest heartaches as well. I've seen the challenges my kids have given my wife, Nadita, over the years. And I have been told, although I find it hard to believe, that I could be a challenge for my mom at times. Perhaps this is why one time during my rebellious teenage years, after I had done something incredibly insensitive and unthinking, I overheard my mom say to my dad, "I remember how we had David, I just don't remember why." Actually, I think it was Irma Bombeck that said that, but that's okay. But every mom here, I am sure, has experienced those moments of exasperation when you have cried out, "What am I really accomplishing here?" And I want to tell you something. In every act you engage in for your children, be they 2 or 22 or 52, you are giving them a glimpse of God. You know, we all are familiar with that story of the Sunday school teacher who sees one of her students furiously drawing a picture before class begins. And so she asks her, "Mary, what are you drawing?" And the little girl looks up and says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher says, "But Mary, no one knows what God looks like." And without a moment's hesitation, little Mary responds, "Well, they will when I get done." And one of my primary goals each Sunday, and Pastor Mark's as well, as we speak to you from up here behind this pulpit, is to try to give you a picture, a portrait of the God of the Bible. And although we know we will never be able to do that picture ultimate justice because God is infinite and we are finite, God has given us some paintbrushes to work with in painting the best picture we can with human illustrations. There is, of course, the picture we see painted through the person of Jesus Christ. Then there are the additional paint strokes that Jesus provided as he taught us to pray to God as our Heavenly Father. And I have given numerous messages over the years built on this picture of God as the perfect Father. But I don't know that I have ever given a message before on the picture of God as one who exhibits the characteristics of the perfect mother, as set out in the video that played just before my message. So let's start off by reading together the verses highlighted in that video. Okay, first the verse that talks of God's protective nature towards his children from Hosea 13:8. Let's read it together. "Like a bear..." Okay, we'll stop there. That's all we need. Okay, then from words from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 66:13. "As a mother..." And then finally, from Jesus' own lips, Luke 13:34. Go ahead. Okay, the rest of that's at 35, but that's my fault, all right? Well, this morning I want us to focus on the unique role that moms have in our world. And I want to compare that to the very similar role God wants to fulfill in your and my lives. And to do that, let's turn to the words of the 23rd Psalm. First, Psalm 23, 1. A Psalm of David, very simply, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Think about that. "The Lord is my shepherd" are words that have brought incredible encouragement, not only to the man who wrote them, King David, but also to literally millions of others who have heard these words spoken down through the years. Why? Well, it starts with, I think, an understanding of what it meant to be a shepherd. I mean, what was the primary role of a shepherd? It was to take care of the sheep. If you were looking to prepare a job description for a shepherd, it would be pretty straightforward: to provide and protect the sheep, to watch over them. So let's dig a little deeper and look at three aspects of the shepherd's role in watching over the sheep that I believe moms fulfill as they watch over their children. The first one is simply, they care for them. They care for them. The sheep of his flock belonged to the shepherd. He would place a mark on each one to signify, "These are my sheep." And although moms don't place a physical mark on their children, they refer to them as "my son," "my daughter," "my child." A sheep, by the way, is not known to be the most intelligent of animals. All right, and with all due respect to my four children, regardless of each one's relative IQ, they have all done things over the years that have caused Nadita and I to utter those words spoken by all parents at some point. What in the world were you thinking? Right? Any parents here ever said that to one of your kids? And since a sheep was unable to care for itself, see, its safety and well-being was dependent on the care of the shepherd. Now, we can easily see the parallel of a mom caring for her children when they are very young. But let me ask you this. Are there any moms here who have discovered that your children, once they reach the teenage years, are now capable of caring for themselves without any input from you? I don't know about the rest of you, but I believe Nadita found that need in our children not to disappear as they became older. Oh, the needs may have changed, but they were no less critical. And a good shepherd is always about what are the needs of my sheep. And a mom, like a good shepherd, continues to care for her sheep, whether they are 2 or 12 or 52. One of the precious things with my mom was, even when the dementia, which got a hold of her later in life, when it really had taken hold and there were just a very few thoughts that her mind seemed capable of forming, she still did not lose this desire to care for her only sheep, me. I was blessed to be able to visit her regularly at the dementia care facility that she was in just down the road from here. And every single time, as I would prepare to leave her after her visit, she would say to me, "Davy, you will call me when you get home." Now, she didn't remember that she did not have a phone, but she was still caring for her sheep. And a second role a shepherd mom has, and that is they provide for them. They provide for them. "The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not be in want," David writes. Because my mom was such a good shepherd for me growing up, you know, I never did feel like I was in want. Now, I'm not talking about material provision here, okay? And although I know that there are some moms here who have a major role in earning the income that supports the family, my mom happened to be a stay-at-home mom. But what she did was she taught me that to not be in want was not based on what material possessions we had. We did not have a lot when I was growing up. And because my mom had grown up during the Great Depression and experienced firsthand what it meant to be in true want, she instilled in me an ability to be content with what I had, because it was so much more than so many others had. So I did not grow up infected by that sickness that impacts so many of our youth today, the disease of a chronic sense of discontentment because I did not have the latest in designer jeans or the fanciest car. And much like the good shepherd knows what the sheep need and what they don't need, a mom knows that for her children. And that's a hard part of being a mom at times, having to withhold things from their children because they know it might not be the best for them, even though the child thinks having it is the most important thing in their entire world. And you know, this message is not one that moms necessarily can stop giving when their children get older. Although money was always tight for me growing up, I never noticed it because my mom had instilled in me a sense of being content with what I had. But then, once I graduated from law school and I got a job with a large law firm in Tyson's Corner, well, now money was a little more available. And so I started to be a little freer with my purchases. And I can still recall, shortly after starting with the firm, taking my mom and dad out to eat at a very expensive and fancy restaurant where I ordered way more food than I could ever eat. And then when the waitress asked if I wanted a box for all the food I had not eaten, I told her, "No, thanks." And my mom did this double take and then said to the waitress, "Yes, he does want a box for that food." And then she proceeded to remind me that there were people in the world who could not afford in a year the food I had been so cavalierly willing to discard. See, it was her remembering what it was like for her family during the Depression. But it was also her way of reinforcing to me that contentment in life was not going to come to me because I now had the money to buy a lot of stuff. She would often say to me these words, "Waste not, want not." And this was her way of shepherding me by reminding me that to be able to say, "I shall not be in want," was not as much a factor of my purchasing power as it was of the inner peace that came from knowing God. And then a third role of shepherd moms is they protect us. They protect. Psalm 23, the second verse. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Anyone here, when you were little, ever have your mom tell you that you had to go to bed? Anybody? Did you always appreciate why your mom had to be such a stickler about bedtimes? See, a child is never ready to go to bed when they should. We lived in a small three-bedroom house in Wheaton, Maryland, and my room was just off the living room where we happened to have our one TV set. And I can recall, after my mom had tucked me in, getting back up and sneaking out into the hallway so I could listen to what my mom and dad were watching on TV without them knowing. Because children are never ready to lie down, even when they need to. And a sheep is much like that. I mean, they are known to be fairly timid. And so unless they feel very safe, they won't lie down to rest. So the shepherd must create an environment where the sheep are free from fear so they can get the rest they need. And what gives the sheep that sense of security? It is the presence of the shepherd. Because that is what removes their fear factor, knowing that their protector is there. Any moms here ever lie down next to your small child after they have had a nightmare so that they can get back to sleep? Even as I got older, when I'd go over to my parents' house to visit, even though I know she wanted time to talk with me, if I looked tired, my mom's first words to me would be, "David, you go and take a nap." And I would go into the room I had grown up in and I would fall asleep, forgetting for a moment the cares of being a novice attorney or a young dad, or later the novice pastor of a small church, as I would rest in the protection of my shepherd, my mom. "He leads me beside still waters," David writes. See, a sheep is afraid of rushing water because their wool is heavy and they are not good swimmers. So if they get caught in a current, there is a likelihood they will drown. So the shepherd must ensure they only go in water that is still and quiet. I don't know about you, but my world was often so noisy, filled with all its obligations and stuff that I thought I needed to do. And yet my shepherd mom was always a still, quiet refuge for me, to just listen as I poured out my heart to her. And moms, it is hard, because often you live with husbands who are not known for their exquisite conversational skills. And then you have children who typically are not real interested in your life and challenges. And yet they so need for you to be there to listen to their life and challenges. And it is you moms that provide that listening ear that is sometimes the only still, quiet refuge our children find in this world. Whether it's because of some bully who picked on them in the fifth grade, or it is about their fears about getting into the right college, or it is their first broken heart over a relationship gone south, or it is their fears and confusion about who God is and how they might relate to Him intimately in a world so full of noise and activity that they just cannot seem to hear His still, small voice calling out to them. Reading on in the psalm, on to verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Again, this is shepherd imagery, because the shepherd would put oil on the sheep's head so that that odor, that fragrance, would repel any snakes in the area. The good shepherd would do all of these things to protect the sheep in its care. And this role God has given to moms, to shepherd their children, it is not an easy one, is it, moms? It is why moms learn early on that it takes a great amount of effort and energy to shepherd well. And I know every mom here has faced moments where you know your child needs your undivided attention, but you just don't know, like, you if you have anything left in the tank to give. Or maybe you've given everything, and yet your child not only is not showing you appreciation, they are actually showing you dishonor and disdain. And every mom here has faced that. What do you do then? You rely on the ultimate shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your shepherd. So let me ask a question of all the moms here and everyone else as well. This morning, how would you answer the question, is the Lord your shepherd? You know, one of the most difficult aspects of being a mom is how much things change over the years. I think of the changes my wife Nadita has dealt with and seen take place in our children since giving birth to our first child 27 years ago. Nothing stays the same. And some changes can be anticipated, others not so easily. Like when Nadita discovered that she would be carpooling her oldest Tyler to high school wearing a maternity dress when the Lord gave us the unanticipated blessing of our fourth child, Allison, some 9 years after we thought we were done with three. Our children change from the infant toddler who cannot stand to be away from you for 5 minutes to the high schooler who, if they are in a good mood, may give you 5 minutes of their time. From the child who 1 minute can tell you they love you to the child who will turn around a few minutes later and tell you that they can't stand you. In the midst of all this change, we all need someone in our lives who never changes. And that is the shepherd that David is telling all of us wants to be your shepherd. See, actually, the word there, the Lord is my shepherd there in verse 1, in the Hebrew refers to the name Yahweh, the name God gave himself in the encounter with Moses at the burning bush. You know, this is the only name that God ever gave himself. And it means in its very essence, I am the God who never changes. I am the God whose love for his children will never waver, whose strength will never diminish, the God for whom your failures and struggles have absolutely no impact on how he feels about you. Because his love for you does not rise and fall based on your actions. And David says here, I have an unchanging shepherd who I can count on. Yes, we moms and dads don't always get it right. But we have a shepherd who does. And that is the shepherd who wants to shepherd you moms as you shepherd your children. You have someone to go to who will never change, even as everything around you seems to. And you need to know that the unchanging Lord of the universe wants to protect and to provide and to care for you. If you are just willing to be his sheep, to place your trust in Jesus' death on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and to trust in him to be your Savior and to be your Lord, watching over you as you walk through this world and all of its challenges. You know, we talked about this on Easter, about how the most critical choice that you will make here on this earth is the one of who your shepherd will be. A lot of things in this world you have no say in. But you get to choose who will be your shepherd. So I will ask again. Can you, like David, say, the Lord Yahweh is my shepherd? Can you say the words that Mary sang, I am not alone, I'm not alone, because you will go before me? David was a king and was a very busy guy, but he had made a basic decision about who would be his shepherd. Have you done that? Because if you have not, then what you are saying is that you have no shepherd in this world. You are basically on your own. And friends, life without a shepherd is one that is filled with anxiety. Any moms here ever worry about their children? Raise your hands. Any moms ever worry about children? Okay. How many of you have found that worrying ever made things better? Raise your hand. Did you? See, if it is all up to you, moms, to care for and provide and protect your children, then you are going to be filled with worry. Because you will soon learn there is so much that will happen to them that you cannot influence or control. But if you are relying on the Good Shepherd to be their ultimate provider and protector, what might that do for your worry levels, huh? So if you are here this morning and you want to have the God of the universe watching over you, watching over your families, then the day is the morning for you to ask yourself, have I really chosen to make the Lord Jesus Christ my shepherd? To say to him, Lord Jesus, I'm worried about the way others are treating my child in school. Please care for them. Lord Jesus, I'm worried about how we will pay for their college. Please provide what we need. Lord Jesus, I'm worried about what the doctor just said to my daughter who is pregnant. Please protect her. This week, moms, every time you are tempted to worry about anything, you turn that worry into an opportunity to take the Good Shepherd at his word. Because if you will, then you can sing, I'm not alone, I'm not alone. And then these words that David wrote in this psalm can be yours as well. The final words to this psalm, read them together. Surely goodness So as the worship team comes forward to lead us in our closing song, let me just say again, Happy Mother's Day, moms.